You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
James Peterson has been perfecting classic recipes from all over the world for over 40 years, and now the acclaimed chef and teacher is sharing his tried-and-true methods in a new book called Cooking, 600 Recipes, 1,500 Photographs, One Kitchen Education. It's published by 10 Speed Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings James Peterson to the show today. Hello.
Hello.
Now, you not only supply the recipes, but also the photographs?
Yes, I do my own photography for the books.
You've been a teacher for two decades. Do you agree with Jacques Pepin that the key for students is mastering the techniques?
Absolutely. That is the trick. Because once you have the techniques, you have access to just about any dish.
But I assume, that, at least this is what he says, that they're anxious to get past the technique part quickly so that they can get to the creative aspects of cooking. And he says without the techniques, you can't do it in those other things.
Well, it isn't linear like that, Lenny. They're integral. As you're learning a technique, you may, in fact, be creating a dish. It's like grammar in English. As you structure the grammar, you write better. Your writing evolves along with learning the grammar. It's similar to that.
And this book, the photographs, I said you have 1,500 photographs. People are assuming there are 1,500 pictures of dishes, but you really have photographed the techniques.
I show how to make the dish.
Step by step.
Exactly. And I've chosen dishes that illustrate techniques. And there aren't really that many techniques. There are really only about 12 cooking methods.
Really, 12?
There's only about 12. I nailed about 12 of them.
Well, first of all, just simple stuff like cutting correctly. You know, all of us are astounded when we see somebody really knows what he or she is doing. Just chop up some vegetables, and the rest of us are afraid we're going to cut off our fingertips.
Well, that's true, and those are the things I call kind of the sub-techniques. The big techniques I call things like braising and poaching and frying and things like that.
Are there certain things where the techniques are more important than others? Is it harder to cook fish, let's say, perfectly than meat?
Fish is tricky, Lenny. It's true. Fish, for the most part, fish is done at an exact point, whereas meat, you have a little bit of beef, essentially, where you may come out and the beef may be a little more cooked than you like it, but you haven't ruined it. Whereas fish, if you overcook it, it's dry, and if you undercook it, it's raw fish, which isn't always appealing.
So how do you get somebody to cook it exactly right?
Well, I describe what it looks like and feels like. A lot of cooking, they say that cooking is the one art form where you use all your senses. And with cooking, you use touch a lot. And I touch fish, and I feel when it feels stiff. The French say that you cook it in the pan until it stiffens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the signal that it's done.
And otherwise, people tell you to see if the fish is flaky, but that means just cutting open the fish and destroying the look.
Yes, and flaky is really a little bit overcooked.
It's already overcooked.
Yes, flaky is not good.
Now, it's interesting that we're in a time when, on the one hand, we have all the fast food and prepared foods available, and yet the cooking schools are filled with students. It seems to be there's almost like a polarization going on.
Yes, it's kind of amazing. And they say, I think there's a degree of class involved. There are those people who are career changers. I've had lawyers and even doctors who've been students who decide they want to change careers. And they're very upper middle class stratum of students who go to places like the French Culinary Institute and such.
And this is a big change because in the old days, most of the chefs were poor boys who apprenticed themselves out to the local chef at the age of 14 or 15 and then worked their ways up.
Exactly. It's a sociological change.
So, and why do you think that is?
Well,
because people want to cook the food that they're used to eating in fancy restaurants?
Well, partly. And people want to do things with their hands. I think we've become such a technocratic society that people are relieved to be able to do something with their hands and actually create something. And cooking is an easy art form. It's not like playing the violin.
It isn't.
Or the harpsichord. You can make a good dish, just follow the directions and come out with a beautiful dish and impress your friends.
Although it's been my experience that if I cook a thing following the recipe perfectly and somebody who's a really good cook cooks it following that same recipe, that it always comes out better when the person who knows what he or she's doing.
Well, that may be true, but you probably have reasonable success.
Yeah. You write that the finest foods are simple foods cooked in the way that suits them best. So what are your feelings about these new experimental chefs like Ferran Adrià or Wiley Dufresne?
Well, they've left me behind a little bit. I've got the Il Bulli book, which was an investment. It was expensive, and it comes with a CD-ROM that helps explain the recipes and the techniques. A lot of them require expensive machinery. They're applying a lot of the techniques that are used in industrial manufacture of foods and applying them to fine cuisine. So it's not practical most of the time for home cooks, which is why I'm not interested in it terribly, because I want to be able to translate these things for home cooks.
And to cook these things, you need pretty much the stuff that every home would have.
Yes.
A good knife,
good
cutting board,
and some pans
and pots, and
but you can wing it on very little.
You obviously didn't intend this to be a traditional cookbook. This really is a step by step building something from the ground up kind of approach.
Yes. It starts out with an explanation of what I think it's a dozen different basic techniques of cooking. Explains what's going on. What are the principles? What are the things to look out for? What to watch for. And then as you get into the body of the book, it goes according to food group, seafood, meat, etc. And then it applies those techniques to those groups.
So you're really teaching philosophy of cooking as much as anything.
Well, I try to. I try to lend the idea that people can be inventive in the kitchen and not just follow a recipe blindly. And I think once people understand these basic cooking techniques, that's one set of knowledge that people need. And they also need a set of knowledge which are flavor groups and profiles that may be consistent with different national or regional cuisines.
So you are less likely to do one of those things that I find so often in cookbooks, a thing that says, lamb with fennel crust and mango chutney.
It's unlikely. I'm pretty traditional because I figure that once you learn the traditional dishes, which are always good, you can make these other things.
You can add the mango chutney.
You can add the mango chutney. And one of the hardest things to make for people is the jus. If you have a roast rack of lamb, people don't know how to make a little jus, which is a traditional way of serving it. And I teach that, which is a little bit tricky.
Well, you're traditional in a lot of ways. You won a James Beard Award for your cookbook called Sauces, and sauces seem to have gone somewhat out of fashion in recent years.
Yes, it's true. Although the book continues to sell well, it's really a lot about cooking in it. It's not just about sauces.
In the introduction to this book, you discuss your childhood love of chemistry. And many people there have been a number of books that have said that cooking really is about chemistry.
Yes, there's a relationship. I think what amazed me about chemistry was that I could transform these basic elements, that there were really only 92 elements to work with, and I could manipulate them with fire. So it's very similar in a way to cooking, to taking materials, proteins or starches or fats, and transforming them with heat.
My guest is James Peterson, whose latest book is called Cooking, 600 Recipes, 1,500 Photographs, One Kitchen Education. It's from 10 Speed Press, and although it's very big and heavy because it contains so much, it's also the kind of book I think that someone who wants to get serious about cooking but really wants to start from the beginning, one step past learning how to boil water, could learn an awful lot from, could actually rely on.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Did you grow up in a cooking family?
Well, I didn't, Lenny. My mother had five boys, and she was overworked. And in those days, I grew up, I was young in the 50s, and it was the era of frozen foods, and she cooked mostly frozen foods. And she's out of the radius of your listening audience, so I can say this.
I'm sure she knows.
Because I've gotten in trouble before, but I'll avoid that. But I did have an aunt, a couple of aunts who lived together, and I used to visit them in the summers. And they were obsessed with cooking. They used to travel. They had traveled to Europe a lot, and they were interested in European cuisine. So we were always talking about what we were having for dinner and for lunch and having wine with our meals, and I was completely fascinated with this.
And then you went to France.
Well, then
you chose to go to France to study, not in the United States?
Well, I ended up in France by accident. I had gone to India to search out a guru and didn't find a guru and went by land. In those days, you could go from India to France by land. And I went by land, by buses and train and hitchhiking, and ended up in France. Well, as soon as I got to France, I saw these people just hanging out in cafes, smoking, drinking, and talking. And I thought, this looks pretty good. And I discovered markets and fine food and realized that this was something that really had always interested me.
Now, we're starting to see markets, more and more markets in this country. New York has its green market, San Francisco, some other cities. So are we finally adopting the ways of the Europeans at a time when the Europeans seem to be adopting the ways of the Americans?
I certainly think so. The differences between France and this country, we're going in one direction, they're going in the other. So the difference is much less noticeable than it used to be.
Although going to a market in a town in Provence is still the greatest thrills of my life. I was in Aix-en-Provence not long ago, and every morning I got up and went to the market because it was just such a thrill. And there's nothing like that in this
country. There isn't quite the same. I remember going to the fish market in Venice and just the vitality of the markets. We don't have that here yet.
And much of the cooking here does come out of the French tradition.
Yes, yes. My background is French. So I get in trouble a little bit with my publisher because they say, you're too French. Everything's French in here. But it's not all French. I use French technique and apply it to other cuisines.
French technique is now being applied to all different cuisines in some cases. For example, in Mexico, there are people who are concerned because it will change the way Mexican food tastes. But do you see it as pretty much the thing? Could you make Chinese food just as good as the Chinese do using French technique?
Well, Chinese food is a little bit different. There are the technique of stir-frying is something that the French don't really use. When they sauté, it's really very similar. And I think it's a question of understanding how foods respond to heat. And once you're familiar with that, then these things become second nature.
A listener writes in that she comes from a family of cooks. I think it's a she. And she says food is the focus of discussions. Everyone's always thinking about how to improve a dish or how to replicate one, which leads you into constant experimentation.
Yes.
Is that something you do? You go to a restaurant or you eat at somebody's house and you say, wow, that was terrific. Maybe I can figure out how to do it myself?
Oh, yes. I'm stealing ideas all the time.
Another person writes, my family loves to eat flavorful meals from all different cuisines. So when I want to make something new, I look for three or four recipes for the same meal, look for the common ingredients, and then take it from there.
That's a smart way to go about it. I use a similar approach when I cook something that I'm unfamiliar with. I look at different recipes and assimilate them all together.
Are you ever tempted to just open up a cookbook and follow it exactly 1/4 teaspoon of this?
I did that one time. I was a judge for the James Beard Foundation for the awards, and I had to test the recipes in some of the books, so I had to do that. And it was absolute agony for me.
Because you found yourself thinking, no, this needs a little more of this.
Yes, it wasn't spontaneous at all. And the shopping was monstrous. I had to go to Chinatown. I had to go to the Indian neighborhoods to get spices. And I was all over shopping one day to get a dish, in one case, that wasn't really worth the effort.
On the other hand, you can't bake without following a recipe exactly, can you?
Baking is different. It's very hard to bake without following a recipe. I've tried it and failed.
Now, you cooked in French restaurants in the 70s in Vivarois. Why did you leave the restaurants?
Well, working in France was difficult because, first off, I was an illegal alien. So I had to be paid under the table, and I was paid very poorly, if at all. Sometimes in these restaurants, I was an intern, and I wasn't paid at all.
So you must sympathize with some of the people you see in New York restaurants who you suspect probably don't have a green card.
Absolutely. I'm completely sympathetic. I remember running out into the courtyard of the restaurants when someone suspect would walk in. It was definitely living on the underground.
But when you came back here, as so many Americans who've had that French experience, you could have just cashed in on it.
Well, I had a restaurant for 4 years. I had my own restaurant, a French restaurant in Greenwich Village. And I can't say that I cashed in on it because I was a terrible businessman. but we certainly were allowed to experiment and do some inventive cooking.
But then came the cookbooks, and
then I just got out of the restaurant business and became a teacher, and that led eventually to translation work, which is how I got into writing.
The latest book, just beautiful, by the way.
Well,
that's because you're also a wonderful photographer. It's called Cooking, 600 Recipes, 1,500 Photographs, One Kitchen Education. It's from 10 Speed Press. Thank you so much, James Peterson, for being on our show
today.
Thank
you, Lenny.